Amen. Okay, if you would like to turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, I'm going to read the passage that my husband will preach from. And it's Jeremiah chapter 18, from verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Father, you have a plan for each and every life here. And you have a plan to take us and to make us and to fashion us into something that is both beautiful before you and useful to you. So Father God, let your word produce that today. In Jesus' mighty name. This today is a new, what do we call it? A new something for the church. We're having an illustrated sermon. Because this sermon is about a potter and clay. And we are so blessed today. We have the man that can do everything. That's what I call Martin. He is a potter amongst many other things. He is a businessman. He's a Lutheran. Is that the word? Luther? Clother? Yeah, it was that one. And also a potter. So he is going to, while I'm preaching, he is going to be pottering, making, hopefully, a pot. Because it's a wonderful illustrated sermon. So this passage speaks about us, how God came to Jeremiah. And, you know, sometimes as preachers, God wants to preach to us. And Jeremiah is thinking he's going to go and preach down there. But God says, "I want you to go to the potter's house." And God gives Jeremiah an illustrated sermon on what he wants to do and is doing with the house of Israel. And he says, "I went down to the potter's house, and there he was." Who? God. The potter represents God making something at the wheel. Of course, it wasn't God, but the potter represents God. So he went down there to the potter's house, and there was a potter making something at the wheel. Say to somebody, God wants to make something of you. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. And he was saying to Israel, though you are marred, I will continue to work in your life. And that's so encouraging to you. Though you are flawed, though you are deeply flawed, so encouraged that God does not give up on you. He says, I will take that which is flawed and make it into something else, into another vessel. And God wants to make you into something else. And this passage tells us some wonderful things because, as I said, the potter that was in the house represents God and how he wants to work in his people to produce something both beautiful and useful. Martin is going to produce something today, both beautiful and useful. I've got a lot of faith in you. You know, sometimes every now and then, one of those vessels is not only beautiful and useful, but it becomes priceless. That can be your life to God. Something of great value to the King. And we've got to understand that when we are saved, God is he's a God of great purpose. And this is what he says we are as his people. In Ephesians 2:10, he says, we are his workmanship, created in Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you know God has prepared work for you? Before you were born, he prepared work. It's unique for you. But the problem is, when he calls you, you are marred. I am marred. We are marred by sin. We're marred by experiences in our past. And he has to refashion us. And you see how God works, even in creation. He takes Adam from dust and makes him into something which is more glorious than anything else has created. And you as a person, he began to form you like a potter, even in your mother's womb. That's why the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, because in the womb, the potter was at work. But through life, through the fall of Adam, and through our own experiences, we become marred. And he has to take us and work on us and shape us and to apply pressure. Put us on his wheel and put us in the fire, because a pot is useless unless it goes through clay, unless it goes through the test of fire. As he's working, the potter is working, he's always adding water, which represents the Holy Spirit, until we are fashioned into something beautiful and useful. But what is so encouraging about this passage, and as we watch Martin there, see, the potter never takes his eyes off the clay. Isn't that wonderful? God never takes his eyes off you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose of you. And he has thoughts to you. And Psalm 139 speaks about how many thoughts he has for you. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more than the sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with you. So God is, as he's molding and looking at that clay, he's thinking about the purpose, what he's going to create, and he never stops thinking about you. And not only that, he never stops, you know, his focus on the clay is intense. His thoughts are many, and not only that, that his hand never comes off the clay. What a wonderful thing it is if you know that God's put his hand upon your life. What a wonderful thing he is. And this is something that Israel constantly struggled with. They didn't want God to fashion them and to make them. They wanted to remain as they were. And this potter, as I said, he has great focus. He has great intentionality. His gaze is always on that clay. But we are not the potter in this passage. We are the clay. And the clay, you'll notice, first of all, clay is about the most common thing on earth, isn't it? Every nation, every place has clay. And it really has no value. It's common. But God chooses the common things. The Bible says he chooses the foolish things to make them wise. And he chooses common clay to make something of great value. And so he takes this most common of thing, this clay. And this clay is marred. And it needs to be turned into something, another. What does it say here? It says, he's going to form it into another vessel. That speaks about the need to be born again, because you're marred, and we need to have a new nature, and we need to be born again, and we're marred by life's experience, and we're marred by sin. So some of us, when we come into the potter's hand, we are impatient. Some of us, we're marred by anger. Some of us are marred by lust. Some of us are marred by all sorts of rebellion in our hearts. We can't submit. We are marred. And so God takes us as marred vessels. And he says he allows us to be born again. But that's not the end of the process. Then he says to this clay, this marred clay, I need to shape you into another. And see, the clay has a job. The clay's job, you know, and Israel never understood this. God took them out of Egypt and he took them through a process which is a wilderness process which all believers have got to go through. And all they did was resist the processes of God in the wilderness. They grumbled and they complained and they talked back and they resisted. And for the clay to be made into what God intends for us, the clay has a role, and it's two things. It is to yield to the potter, constantly yield, and to be malleable, moldable in the hands of the potter. And see, you can be saved, but resistant to the new and the changes and the molding God is trying to do in your life. And we have to constantly. It's the Christian life. There's no one who is self-made. I hate that expression. He's a self-made man. Nobody in the kingdom of God is self-made. We are God-made, and our role is to yield. It is to yield. It is to yield in the hands of the potter. It is to submit to him over and over. And this is how you submit to him. The clay, in order to submit, needs to trust. For you to trust and constantly yield to God and his processes and what he's doing in your life, it requires you to trust that all he's going to do in and through you is motivated by his love and empowered by divine wisdom. Everything he does towards you is from his love, and it's from great wisdom. And you need to trust that. That everything the potter does to the clay is because he loves the clay and he acts with great wisdom towards the clay. And all the clay needs to do constantly is to yield and to trust the potter. Now, the clay itself has a power. People say clay has no power, but the clay has a power. The clay can resist the potter. The clay, well, let me just say, there is the potter, there is the clay, but the clay, in order to be made into something useful, something new, into another that God considers beautiful and useful, it has to go through this process. And see, the process involves being put on the wheel. The clay is deliberately put on a wheel. And this is a process God takes us through. And the wheel, what is the wheel? The wheel is simply the circumstances of your life to which are under the control of God. The circumstances of your life, do you know they are under God's control? And he puts you in certain places. And the role of the circumstances you get into, it may be a testing job. It may be a difficult relationship. It may be something that requires great patience. And God in those circumstances is working. You may have, like in that clay, if Martin finds something in there that has, let's say the clay has an air bubble. God, Martin has to work that air bubble out so that when it is formed, that there's no weakness there. And that air bubble may be your impatience. And the potter is working. He's always got his hand on you through the circumstances of life. Nothing just happens. He is in control. And Romans 8:28 says, everything is being worked for the good of him who loves God. And I went through this recently when we were on our trip in Dubai. You know, God is always working and always forming. And you know, the circumstances of life, that's the wheel. We are going around the wheel, and God is working on us, and he's taking us through situations and challenges and relationships that are designed to get the impurities and the marring out of our life. You know, the Bible says that Israel was tested in the wilderness, that God would know what was in their hearts. God already knew what was in their hearts, but what he does, he wants to show us what's in our hearts so that we can be removed. When I was in Dubai recently, there's one thing I've struggled with my whole life, and that is impatience. As impatience. And here we are, we got like a 36-hour delay, and there's no information coming. There is absolutely no communication from the airline. They're just saying, your flight is canceled. And then people are saying, maybe a war is going to start in the Middle East. We're going to be here for a long time. And then we're in queues with people up to your elbows. And it was just chaos and pandemonium. And I realized again, I was back on the potter's wheel. Back on the potter's wheel. Praise God. I think I've grown more patient. My wife will say it. I didn't lose my temper. We stayed patient. We allowed the fruit of the Holy Spirit to come out. But see, Israel never learned this. Israel never learned this. And, you know, we must understand that Israel, most of them never got into the promised land. And the promised land was the destiny. It was what God wanted to lead them all into. But they resisted the processes of God. And, you know, the condition of the clay is the determining factor in your destiny. The condition of the clay. If when we go through trials, challenging times, and we say God is in control of this, and he's going to use this to refine me, he's going to use this for my good, and I am able to yield to the difficulties, the painful experiences in life, the betrayals, and I'm able to say, but God is in control. He is using this to shape me. He is using this to mold my life. When my business is hard and I'm just hanging on, and I say, God is actually in control of this, then through that process, he is refining and shaping me. He is refining and shaping me. And all that is required is in those times for me to simply yield to it. Yield to it. And to trust him that he is in control and that he is going to bring good out of this. And see, Israel never learned this. Every time they came to a test, every time they came to bitter water at Marah, every time they came to the Red Sea, all they did was grumble and accuse God of not caring. And what happens when we live like that, we stay on the wheel. We just go round and round. We face more and more tests and we just stay on God's wheel. Because we don't realize that God is in control. He's allowed, if it gets to you, he's allowed it. And see, the clay can actually fight the potter. So God may be saying to you, you're Maybe you're unloving or you're selfish. And God is actually trying to work that out of your life. But every time he tells you to serve somebody else, you resist them and you harden. And you don't allow him to refine you, to shape your life. Maybe it's something that you just deliberately keep yielding to, a temptation. We all get tempted, and sometimes we fail, but when we continue to just give ourselves to these things, then he can't shape us because the clay is fighting the potter. If he's calling you into a time of devotion in the morning and to meet with him in the secret place, but you continue to play on your phone, then the clay is fighting the potter. The job of the clay is simply to yield and to trust and to cooperate with the potter. And then he will make something valuable and something useful out of it. And you know, I've learned over the years, clay can jump off the wheel. Yeah. Show us, Mark. And I praise God. I don't have much going for me. But I've been betrayed. I've been beaten up. I've been lied to. But I'm still on the wheel. That's the only thing I can say. I'm still on the wheel. And God is not finished with me yet. Because you can jump off the wheel. But the good thing is, if you just stay on the wheel, if you just continue to yield and to trust God, no matter how badly you've messed up in the past, no matter how deeply you, either things that you've done or been done to you, no matter how marred you are, if you stay yielded and submitted to God, he will take you and make a spectacle of your life. He did it with Adam. He doesn't discard the marred. He actually takes them and refashions them. He did it with Jacob, who was a liar and a deceiver, and he refashioned him. He put him on the wheel, and he made him into Israel. He did it with Jonah, who ran away, and he put him on the wheel of repentance, and he turned him into this great preacher where everybody repented. He did it with John Mark, who failed, and God put him back on the wheel and made him useful for the kingdom. He did it with Simon Peter, who denied him and ran him away. He was deeply flawed character, but he put him back on the wheel. And as long as we are able to stay on the wheel, as long as we're able to say, yes, I'm flawed, yes, I'm marred, but I'm still submitted, I'm still trusting you, that you're working in these circumstances. I don't understand them all, but I yield and I trust you. God is shaping and he is molding you, and he'll continue to work. But our job is to yield to the process. You know, I saw somebody recently, and I was just watching someone. They went through a disappointment. And I could see this was a great test. And God actually spoke to me and says, you're not to help them. They're being tested. You're not to bail them out. You're not to go and counsel them. You're just to leave them because they're being tested. And this is a disappointment. And this person could have thrown the toys out of the cot. They could have even left. Because some people do. They just leave the church rather than face the difficulties or the character issues God's trying to deal with in them. And this person, they went through that. Listen, let me just backtrack. Part of the process is after we are put on the wheel, Martin will keep adding water to that. There you go. There's water. It keeps being added. So when we are saved, we actually continually need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what continually purifies our life. But after the water comes a process. The pot, if it's going to be anything more than a useless bit of clay, has to be fired. And the potter puts the clay in the fire. It's the final part of the process. And as I was speaking to this person recently, they went through a situation where something happened and there was a disappointment and they couldn't quite comprehend it. And then Satan got in and tried to create issues and lies, because he does that in their mind. And all that was required was to stay there and to continue to trust God that he was in this, that even though they didn't understand it, God was in it. He had allowed it. And in his great love, he was working. And this person just trusted God through it all. And I saw what the potter does. I saw a great growth and a great change and a great maturity come to this person, because they'd been in the potter's firehouse and they hadn't jumped out, hadn't bailed and done what their flesh wanted to do. They just trusted God. And he will. He will take the clay and put us in fiery tests. You know, and the fire that we need is the fire of the Holy Spirit on us to pass those tests. Because when we've been through fire, the fiery trials of God, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these are illustrations of things we can go through. You may go through a fiery test in your marriage. And you might want to run away, but you stay and trust God. Or in your business, but you stay and trust God. Right, whatever it is, but when you go through those tests and you feel you just feel real fire, God is actually using those tests to harden in a good way, so that we don't crack up, so that we don't fall apart, so our lives are strong to face the evil one. But many people, they fail at the fire test. Listen to what Romans 9 says. Romans chapter 9 says this. We're speaking about vessels. This is a vessel that's been made. And this is what Romans 9 says. It says, verse 17, "For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I've raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens.' You will say to me then, 'Why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed to say to him who formed it, "Why have you formed me like this?" Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long sufferings the vessels of wrath, prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory?" Praise God, you're a vessel of mercy. I am a vessel of mercy. I praise God for that. But here it is. He's actually speaking also about two types of vessels that the potter has made. One, a vessel of wrath, and one, a vessel that is made for dishonor. And so the question gets made, does God create, is he just merciful to some, and does he create people, because it's referring here to Pharaoh, who it says ended up a vessel of dishonor, and it speaks about he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Now to understand this, we've got to understand how God works. If you go to Exodus 8:15, it says that God sent Moses to Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh would not let them go. And every time God either sent hail or he made the Nile into blood, he turned the Nile into blood, Pharaoh would say, "Oh, I better do something." But then he would harden his heart. And five times, through the lice, through the hail, through the boils, Pharaoh would go, "Oh, this is, we're under the judgment of God." But then when it would pass, he would harden his heart. And then in chapter 10, this is where people get confused. It says, but God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And what we've got to understand is that five times Pharaoh hardened his heart towards God when God was making it clear who he was. And then, after this constant hardening, God in retribution hardened Pharaoh's heart and turned him into a vessel of dishonor. So no one is created, no one is shaped by the potter just to be a vessel of dishonor. The truth is that God has never hardened a man's heart who didn't first harden his heart towards God. But when God takes us and he's trying to mold us and shape us and he puts his hand upon us, if a person continually resists God and resists God and resists God and resists God and hardens their heart towards God, the clay becomes unusable. And there does come a time with people where the potter pushes the clay off the wheel. But that only happens when someone has continually resisted and hardened and said, God, you will not shape me. You will not shape me. I will do as I want. I am not responsive to you. So here is God. He is at the wheel. He wants to shape you. And the question today is, are you yielded? See, you can be doing a lot of works for God. You can be running around for God. You can be doing this and that for God. But God is not after that. God is after simply surrendered clay. He is looking for people who simply will yield him and trust him in all the difficulties and all the trials of being on the wheel, that he is overseeing it all, that his eyes never come off you, that his hand never leaves you in whatever circumstance of life he is. He is fashioning and he's going to work it all for your good. He is producing something, and at the end of it, your life will be beautiful and useful to the King. And all that is required from us is that we continue to yield and that we continue to trust. Continue to allow him to work out the marring, the impurities, the impatience. Not fight against him. Not get despondent when he's allowing us to go through circumstances. But that picture that his eyes never come off your life. His hand is never taken off of you. You're in his hands and he's doing a great work in your life. And he will perfect that work as long as we yield and trust him. And you know, here it says at the end, just as a bit of a, maybe you're saying something. Well, I know I'm a vessel of mercy. And I really believe that God has made me into something. And now I am something in the kingdom of God. Let me just remind all of us here. This is the truth. He makes vessels. Vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. But no matter whatever happens, the vessel doesn't make its own water. The vessel can produce nothing. The vessel, all it can ever do is receive. That's all you can ever do. Even if you've been made into a great evangelist, a great teacher, all you can do is receive revelation, receive fresh grace, receive anointing, and if you're fortunate, that which you have received, you can give away. The moment you stop receiving, you are nothing. That's why we say it's all by grace. But all we'll ever be is vessels. Vessels of his goodness. Vessels of his kindness. Vessels of his mercy. One of the things that would happen when the potter was making vessels, when he was working in the potter's house, there was clay which was every now and then just too lumpy or unworkable. And so outside of the potter's house, there was a place called the potter's field, which was where all the discards were thrown. And I got this revelation as I was finishing today, just so marvelous, that all the discards were thrown outside the potter's house into the potter's field. Now, stay with me. When Judas decided to betray Jesus, he was paid 30 pieces of silver. And after he realized what he's done, he went to the chief priests. And he was so convicted that he'd betrayed the King of Glory that he tried to give the money back. But the chief priest says, we can't put this money back into the temple treasury because it's blood money. It's blood money. This money was used. It was the blood money of Jesus Christ. This money was used to betray and to pay for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So what they did, the chief priests decided to use the blood money, and that says they bought the potter's field. And there's something really profound about that. That with the blood money of Jesus, he wants to shape and turn all of us into something great. But if you are somebody that feels that I am useless to anything, I am somebody that is so damaged and so broken, I have been discarded, and I could never ever be useful to God, the blood of Jesus purchased the discards in the potter's field even. And all you need to do is to come to him and to yield to him, and he will take you no matter where you are, no matter how marred you are, and he will make something beautiful and useful from your life. I can preach this because I have been a very, very marred man. If you knew me 30 years ago, I could never, ever imagine where I am here. But I can only say one thing about myself. I can only give myself one commendation. I am not bright. I am not gifted. I'm not talented. But God did teach me how to yield. He has taught me how to trust. And in every circumstances to believe that he's in control, that if it got to me, he's allowed it, that his eyes never come off me, that everything I go through, he's going to turn to my good. And all I've learned to do is to yield to him, and he has made something of my life. This is a joint sermon. Come on.
Just to add to what happens after this. Pastor Martin mentioned that we go through a fire. If we don't go through a fire, if the clay doesn't go through a fire, it can't hold water. So it's just clay. And regardless of how it looks, if it doesn't go through the fire, it can't be useful. And this will go through two firings. So the first firing is to change it from the clay chemically into something else. The second firing is what allows it to hold the water. And so we are saved, and then we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to be prepared to have those two things be real in our life, because once this gets filled up with the Holy Spirit, the only thing that it's useful then is if it overflows.
Amen.
It's not useful if it gets filled up and a lid put on it. It just becomes stale water. So having done pottery for a while now, God has spoken to me so many times through how he has worked in my life as well. That there are fires I've been through.
Amen.
But I know
Hallelujah.
That God is flowing through me now.
Amen. That's so true. Amen. Yeah, that's why Jesus says, wait, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. In other words, I'll be able to use you. You'll be able to be useful to me after the fire of the Holy Ghost has come upon your life. It is the sealer of God's approval on you. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I want to pray for us today that if you are resisting, you are pushing back on some area of your life, God's saying, you know, maybe it could be in the area of your marriage or relationship or whatever. God uses people as sandpaper. And you're pushing back. God is saying, I want you to yield to me. I'm in that. I want you to trust me again in that. Maybe it's something, a circumstance, it's financial. You're going through something. God's eye is upon you. His hand is on you. He knows what he's doing. He just wants you to yield and to trust him afresh because he's doing something greater. His ways are not your ways. He's producing something, and he's going to bring something beautiful and useful out of your life through all those circumstances. And maybe you, as Martin said, you've never had that fiery experience of the Holy Ghost coming upon your life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, which makes us useful to God. He wants to give you that today. So I want to pray for us. Father God, I thank you for every person here today. I thank you, Father God, that though we be common, though we be nothing to you, though we just be clay, your ways are amazing. You take the ordinary and make the extraordinary from the ordinary. And Father God, that is your plan for each and every purpose here today. There is no such thing as just a Christian. There is no such thing as someone who's just saved but not useful. Father God, you want to make each and every one of us into something extraordinary for you. And Father God, I lift every person up here today. And Father God, I declare yieldedness into every heart, surrender into every heart, trust into every heart, that you, whatever we're going through, Father God, your eyes never come off us. Your hand is never removed. You are working and working and working. And fathers, help us not to fight the potter. Help the clay to yield, to be malleable. Father God, if there's any who have jumped off the wheel today, let them jump back on again. Put them back on again in your grace, Father God. Reach out to them. Put them back on that place. Father God, I thank you that you finish what you start. You are a finisher, and you will not stop until you have produced the image of your Son in my life, in our lives, until you've made something which you considered beautiful and useful. Father God, we say today, we say, don't stop. Don't stop. And Father God, for those that need your fire, need the fire of the Holy Spirit to come upon their lives. Father, as they lift their hands to heaven here today, Father God, meet them. Baptize them in yourself. Baptize them with the baptism of Jesus. Father, we need it. We can do nothing without it. And we say, Father God, we want the fire in this house again. Father God, we want your fire in our lives. We give you permission, Father God, to continue to work. And I thank you, Father, that your hand is so gentle, that your hand is so soft. You know the exact amount of pressure to apply. Exact amount. Father God, you're so gentle. You're so good. Your timing is so perfect. Remove. Take out the impurities. Lord, if you see that impatience, that rebellion, that stubbornness, that anxiety, fear, anger, Father God, don't take your hand off me until it's gone. Keep working. that we may be a work that pleases you. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Maybe if you need to just yield afresh to God, the altar's open. I'm not going to pray for anybody, but may you just know you need to trust Him. You need to yield to Him. Just come to the altar and say, God, I'm going through something difficult, but this is part of your will. You are involved in all the circumstances of my life, and I confess to you today, I trust you. But you do that. You do that. God will continue to work. All His work is wonderful. In Jesus' name.